Hello, my name is Debbie Boone, and I want to welcome you to my podcast, The Bend, where we explore how successful people, some well-known and others not as much, navigated the path and emerged in a better place when life threw them a curve. It's inspired by one of my favorite sayings, the bend in the road is not the end of the road unless you fail to make the curve. These conversations will hopefully help you and inspire you to embrace your personal bend and flourish. I hope you enjoy The Bend and add it to your subscriptions. And if you need help with your own personal navigation and are in veterinary medicine, please feel free to reach out to me at Debbie Boone, 2 Manage Vets Consulting. Now enjoy The Bend and be inspired by our amazing guest. Welcome. Well, welcome everyone to today's episode of The Bend. Today, I am happy to introduce to you Serena Podelsky, who is a registered veterinary technician from Ohio. She has a very interesting story to tell, and I'm excited to share her career with especially the technicians out there among us, because this is one of the things that she does is to coach veterinary technicians to be entrepreneurs and to have their own veterinary technician business. I am Debbie Boone. I am the host of this podcast, The Bend, and I am a veterinary practice management consultant, and I welcome you to the show. So Serena, thank you so much for joining us today. I want to read a little bit of your bio, but we're going to get into some of the nitty gritty of your career. I mentioned that you are a registered veterinary technician, that you are right now in Ohio in a snowbank, along with half of the rest of the country. You graduated from Tri-City and have a lot of background in lab animal medicine, as well as working in private practice, trained in farm animal and exotic. So every kind of critter. In fact, you told me you had a bearded dragon and a snake behind you. So we hope that the snake doesn't get out and make an appearance. And chances are good the cat may walk across the screen, but that's sort of Zoom normal for our neck of the woods. 3 dogs, 5 cats, 2 birds and a fish, snake, bearded dragon. And you're an animal girl from way back, right? From the time.
Yeah.
So she actually has a business that brings pet care into the client's home rather than them coming into the veterinary hospital. And she does pet consultation, helps clients with information, education about routine care and surgical procedures. She also is bringing some digital pet care courses that are now being introduced. That's something new. And she loves to help educate pet parents. I just got through talking to Suzanne Cannon, who is the founder of Vet Billing, saying that primarily veterinary hospitals are to be hospitality focused. They are educators. And then the third thing they do is medicine. So we tend to focus on the medicine and forget the hospitality and education. And then we don't get to do the medicine. So I'm so glad that you're interested in doing that. So Serena, thank you for coming on the show today. And I'm really interested in sharing your story and about how you actually created your truly your own career. I mean, you really did. Did you want always to be a veterinary technician when you were young?
So thank you in advance for, you know, allowing me to be on the program. I started in, you know, as all of vet techs do, we all, as kids, we love animals. We're drawn to, you know, the puppies and the kittens, and our families always had animals. And I just knew it was kind of something that I wanted to do. I had no idea what a veterinary technician was when I was little. It was kind of something that got introduced to me in high school when my mom actually found the vet tech program at our local college. And she's like, well, why don't you just do this thing? Because my whole track was go to vet school or marine biology or zookeeper. Like, those are my top three choices. I knew it was something to do with animals and I liked them all. So I'm like, I don't know which one I like best. Before starting high school, we wanted to just kind of what the vet tech thing was. And I'm like, oh, it's like a veterinary nurse, but we get to have all the fun and do all of the things. So it was just something that like, okay, we're going to do this. So once I decided I'm going to do this, I'm not really good with the word no. So like, I just keep going until I get what I want. So like, this is what we're going to do. And I ended up actually waiting on the waiting list for 2 extra years. So I didn't get to start the program for a couple more years after high school. So 2007, I finally got into the vet tech program and finished it in 2009. And kind of just never turned back. You know, it was just a lot of fun. And yeah.
So I think that's really interesting. I didn't realize that there was like a waiting list for vet tech schools, because I know that there are online programs and community college programs and so options. But did you just want to do that hands-on local for your education?
Absolutely. With veterinary medicine anyway, because it's so hands-on, you only learn as you do. So I know that I don't do well with just a computer setting. Like, I learn by doing. So I knew that I looked at the reviews of just the different schools in our area and the education and the test scores. And Tri-City had the highest test scores in Ohio. And going through, they only accept 18 to 25 students in their program at a time. So I knew it was worth the wait. I knew it was run by three DVMs who knew what they were doing. So I knew that, you know, it's waiting for a couple of years. I went to Lakeland Community College for like the Englishes and the maths and all the prereqs and yoga and kickboxing and all the other extra stuff that you don't really need. But it was just fun to just wait until I knew it was the right time. Because a lot of the online schools weren't around 12 years. I feel old now. But yeah, it wasn't really an option for veterinary technicians to do things online like it is today. Mm-hmm. So that's actually a big change I've seen in the last 5 years, is the online courses have been becoming more popular, but I also feel like they don't need to be as popular. I feel like they do still need to be learning things hands-on. It's a lot different dealing with horse and cow behavior, learning in the field versus, you know, don't forget you can get kicked. Like, I got kicked by a horse and a cow in the face. Like, it's scary. Like, you have to learn on your feet and the muscle memory and all that stuff too. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely something that not every specialty can be learned online.
Right. Yeah. I think sometimes the best of both worlds is working in a practice and learning at the same time, because if you have a mentor in the practice that will help you, because you really come, when you finish, you have skills, you know, right. Yeah. You've been learning the whole time you've gone through there. So I know that you came out of school and that you worked in small animal practice or mixed animal practice.
So right out of school, I actually did my internship in research. So I got hired right out of school into that research position, and I stayed there for about 3 years. And then it wasn't until about before my wedding in 2012 where I decided it's time to do something else. I'm kind of exhausted. What else can I do? And there was a local practice, like a private practice, large small animal exotics. And I'm like, okay, let's apply there. It was close to my home. So I applied, and I knew it was going to be completely different. You know, it's a big difference between GP and research. But I'm like, I want to try something else. So I just kind of jumped at it. Mm-hmm. And I learned as I went, and it was a big learning curve. But the head doctor there was the biggest mentor I could ask for. He was really, really good. The staff was good. So it was nice.
When you were working in research, what were you doing there?
So the research facility was ran by three DVMs and five vet techs. So a lot of the studies were approved by the veterinary boards first before they were allowed to do their practice. So as veterinary technicians that were running the facility, we were in charge of training different people that were on the protocols, how to handle the animals, their anesthetic protocols, how to draw blood, how to restrain, how to do, you know, anesthetic monitoring for their patients, what the normal values were, how to intubate pigs, we did everything from, you know, mice and rats and frogs. We did sheep. We did there was a cow study. There was pretty much everything. There were dagoos. I remember the dagoos and the hamsters. Oh my God, they were so cute. So there was a lot of variety every single day. It's research. So nothing ever got out. You never like let anything go home. It was just kind of, they're all non-survival at the end. And it just kind of drains at you after a few years. So I just wanted to try something else where the animals could actually go home. Yeah. But it's definitely a needed thing. I just wanted to try something different. Sure.
So how did life throw you a curveball that you were here tooling around in small animal practice, being a licensed technician, doing, you know, actually healing animals and sending them home? And what?
So I wanted to start my own business because we actually had this dog come in for just a nail trim, And it was like a shepherd mix or something, and he was not happy and the owners weren't happy and they were just kind of on defense. The dog was on defense. We talked about, you know, some sedation because it was just having an angry response to just touch in general. And the owners didn't want us to sedate. They just wanted us to try. It took four of us to get the nail trim done. And I just thought it was just something that, you know, it doesn't have to be a fight. All the routine care that we do every single day doesn't have to be a fight. Why can't someone just go to their house and just do it? So I started my business in 2016 with just bringing general care to people's homes, nail trims and ear cleanings, anal glands, things like that, that we do every single day. And I wanted to do it full time, but I was still working full time. So as I was building up clientele and just, you know, general services and just being more confident in the services, I was planning on doing it over the summer before my son went to preschool. And we actually lost our childcare. My mother-in-law broke her knee. So it was just like a fast forward, let's jump into this and just see what happens. Because I tried to work part-time, you know, as we were trying to just adjust. And it's really hard to work in a clinic setting part-time and try to leave it, you know, a specific time so my husband can go to work at 1:30. It wasn't conducive. So it was just like a, you have to go do this right now, as opposed to like when you're planning on doing it. We're going to fast forward your plans about 6 months.
Yeah. So what was the scariest part of that? Because I don't think you said you were really ready to go do that yet.
No, I'm a planner. I'm very type A. Like things are have to be like in the calendar and set and just like, I like plans and I didn't have one. It was just kind of just jump and see what happens. And I'm not that kind of person. I'm like, I just, you know, it just, I fear the unknown type of thing. So I didn't know if I was actually going to make it. I'm like, what if I fail? What if I can't do this? So I actually found a coach, a business coach, a mindset coach in the interim between all of the things. And it really, really helped me see that if you have a dream in mind that you can actually do whatever you say you're going to do, you just have to have the support inside yourself to actually do the thing. Yeah. So once I figured out that like I can create my own reality, it's just been the best transition ever.
Yeah. I want to talk to you a little bit about, because you answered your questions for me ahead of time, and I thank you for that. But the business coach and the mindset coach, I thought was, first of all, unique, because I rarely hear that people tell me those kind of things on these interviews. And I think they're very beneficial. So yeah. What led you, I guess, to reach out to those types of support people and say, hey, you know, I think I need some coaching here.
So one of my, the business course I took over the summer, or, you know, before I was supposed to take over the summer that I took in a couple of weeks, she was talking about her client, Jenna, that was always, she does a lot of mindset transition or transformation work. And she was, that was one of her clients that she was, you know, showing in her program, and she was like demoing some of her stuff. And I'm like, okay, all right. That's kind of something I've never heard of before. And when I was going through the business course, there's a lot of things that I've never heard of before with mindset and things like that too. So I'm like, well, that's interesting. And she was talking about one of the books that she was reading. And then I was on Facebook kind of watching what her client was doing. And I'm like, they're mentioning this book called The Secret. And I'm like, okay. Then I saw it on Netflix. And I was like, I kept being attracted to those types of things. So I want to know more about this. So I read some books. I talked to some people. I'd actually talked to Jenna a few times. We were friends for like a year before I started working with her. I'm like, what do you do? Like, I want to do that too, but with you. So I was going to some of her free masterclasses and just kind of getting into her world and what they were doing. And it was really, really, it was just a lot of fun. I just don't realize how much you can just, you know, affect your own thoughts and your days and, you know, the positive aspects of things. So once I figured out how to kind of reframe my brain of like all of the positives and just being, you know, grateful for what we have and all those types of things, it really just helped develop that relationship with her. And then once I got to work with her one-on-one, it was just like, this is the best thing ever. And I need to share it.
Yes. Well, I read The Secret a long time ago. Mm-hmm. I've seen the movie, but I've always kind of believed that, and I've taught my classes this for many, many years, that to our core, we're energy. And the energy you put out is the energy you get back. And so when you put energy out into the universe, it says, this is what I need, that the universe answers and gives you those things back. And I'm not talking about, you know, money or things like that. I'm talking about it puts the people in front of you that need yeah. you need to meet, the ones that you need yeah. to know.
And you meet people on purpose.
For yes, sure. absolutely. Mm-hmm. So I've always believed that, you know, those people are put in front of you for a reason. And absolutely. I told this story not too long ago, but when I was a manager, I went to the North American Veterinary Conference and I sat in the front row of a meeting and I watched Karen Gassner give a talk. Mm-hmm. And I thought, just kind of in the back of my mind, you know, maybe one day I might like to do that. Mm-hmm. And here we are, you know, 20 years later, and I think mm-hmm. I've spoken at every major national conference here and in Canada. Nice. And it never was like this big formal plan that I was going to do yeah. it, but right. it was this thought that I had mm-hmm. put out there into the universe that said, you know, I think that might be me up there one day, and they might like to do that. So I appreciate that very much, and I would encourage anybody to read that book and watch that movie. Mm-hmm. It's certainly accessible. You can find it all over the internet if you want right. to. But mm-hmm. and just keep in mind that energy, even in coaching communication with clients, mm-hmm. whatever you push out there is going to be what you get back too. And sometimes right in here during COVID, we are seeing some very difficult clients. The teams are, one manager said, I fired more people in the last 5 weeks that have in the last 5 years because clients are so unruly. And that has a lot to do with, you know, just the fact that everybody's stressed on both sides mm-hmm. of the aisle there, on both sides of the exam table, let's put it that way, even if yeah. or in the parking lot and in the building.
Right.
Right. Yeah. That decision-making process that kind of mm-hmm. you worked through when you were starting this business, tell me how you kind of put all the pieces together to get started and move forward.
Well, it was always just something that I was doing. And as I was learning, as I was going, it just became a lot easier. Clients were really receptive of a traveling technician doing house calls in their home. The amount of respect and appreciation you find outside of a clinic setting when they actually call you, as opposed to them coming in, is a different ball game for sure. They are just so appreciative that they have help coming to them because they're too afraid to do these things on their own. Mm-hmm. So the more confident you get just doing the services and just making the relationships and building those relationships with the clients, they respect you so much more that it just becomes so easy. It becomes so easy to just keep offering the same services and offering new things and just seeing what the needs are and just adapting and pivoting your business to offer those services. So that's where the digital courses came in, because people aren't getting the same amount of client education in rooms. So I'm like, how can I help them? They're all getting puppies and kittens. They're all getting these new animals. They all have questions. How can I help them? So I started doing digital pet care courses, and it just was a lot easy. It was easy to make. It was a lot of, you know, prep work and things like that. But once you get the, you know, the big first one done, they all kind of just fall in line. I have a lot of things that I still want to keep going and keep growing and keep making, but you know, it's something that they can take with them. It's videos that they can watch, it's checklists that they can have, it's Zoom that we can schedule together where if they have questions, it doesn't have to be hard. Things don't have to be overwhelming. You don't have to feel like you're doing it alone. You don't have to feel like your dog is the only one that bites when they're 8 weeks old. We all have been there. Yeah. So when people feel heard and they feel like someone's listening to them, it makes it that much easier. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, good for you, because you know, one of the things I've always been a teacher mm-hmm. in veterinary medicine, and I believe in teaching clients to be good pet parents. And then they actually mm-hmm. become really good pet parents because they want yes. to, they want to know, yeah. but mm-hmm. we are limited on time, you know, in a veterinary
right.
hospital. And
oh yeah,
you could, you know, it's really difficult when you've got four or five rooms backing up to spend an hour talking
about, right.
you know, the first puppy visit and chewing
right.
all yeah. the body
training, all the things
eating, thing. So mm-hmm. I love the fact that you're doing some education, because that certainly does, it is good for the animals, and it is actually good for the veterinary profession, because the more informed people are, the better clients they become. For and they sure. don't wait, you know, until animals right. are in bad situations, and then they yeah. wait. So what were some of the mistakes that you made, you know, when you first got started?
Well, I was so afraid of just making all of the mistakes. I, you know, even just tracking your income versus, you know, how to find your clients, getting the word out there, marketing, all those things that I've never heard of building a website, all those types of things. I'm like, I didn't have a website. I didn't have business cards for like 2 years. I'm like, I just did a lot of word of mouth things because I wasn't confident enough in myself as a business owner because I had a lot of imposter syndrome. And that's something that I find with all of the vet tech students that I have is like, they all get that imposter syndrome. Like, we're going to go work through that together. It's something that you know how you have a skill. Go tell people about it. Go tell people what you're doing. Talk to new people every single day. I was very introverted when I started my business. I'm not that way now. It's just something that comes with time is the more you do it, the more you talk about it, it just gets easier. Mm-hmm. So the more conversations you have, sales doesn't have to be sleazy. It can feel fun and just, you know, you're a solution to a problem. Exactly. That's what a business owner is. So it's nothing that you have to feel gross about. It's not something that you have to hide. And we're not doing anything illegal either. Like, we're doing nail trims and ear cleanings and answering questions. People are so afraid, you know, oh, they'll take my license. Like, no, we're not prescribing medications. We're not diagnosing. We are not doing surgery. So everything else we can help with. You know, we do so much client education in rooms. We're showing people how to give fluids and insulin and all these things. But people, when they go home, they're so afraid to do that. So why can't they have someone in their corner who can just walk them through it or do it for them and make it a business? Mm-hmm. So that's why I do what I do. Like, it is possible.
Yeah. Do you find you get a lot of referrals from the local veterinarians?
I do. And actually yesterday I had one call me as I was driving home. She's a vet that I've worked with at my old clinic and that we've become really good friends. And I work with, actually, I have two other DVMs that are actually clients of mine that if they have animals that need help, they'll call me. And she called me yesterday and she's like, hey, I have this house call that I did on this cat. We did an exam. We're doing it in the ear cytology at the clinic when we get back. He might need some meds. Would you be able to, you know, swing by today or tomorrow and help them out? I said, yeah, of course. So it came out that he had ear mites. So she's like, the owner's going to pick up the meds or you can, whoever, you know, it's easier for them. But the owner was like 80 years old. Ugh. The cat was about 5 and it was hard for her to get the cat in the carrier in general. That's why they did the house call in the first mm-hmm. place. So she just called me. She's like, hey, can you swing by, pick up the medication if she wants you to and put it in? Of course I can. So once vets realize how symbiotic the relationship can be, like, I give them business too. I have clients that don't have a veterinarian yet. Maybe they're new to the area or they have a new puppy, new kitten. Their regular vet is, not taking new clients maybe. So I'll refer them to mine. Mm-hmm. One of my clients, actually, their cat broke his leg. He got hit by a car and their vet couldn't get him in for 3 weeks. Like, I called my vet. I said, hey, this is my friend Andy. He's coming in. He's going to call. Can you help him? And they actually had an opening for a fracture repair the next day. So we were able to get the cat fixed the next day as opposed to waiting 3 weeks with a fractured leg.
Yeah.
So it's really nice that I actually get referrals too from other vets, but I also give them business too. So I'm very familiar with, you know, as you're even calling around getting vet records, they hear the name of like, this is Serena from the traveling technician. Can I get vaccine history and a mutual client? And they're like, well, what do you do? So then you tell them, you just have a conversation. So I get referrals from vets that I've never even heard of because they've heard of me through someone else.
Yeah.
So it's so awesome. It's a lot of fun.
Do you market yourself, Serena? Is that, I see you call yourself the traveling technician. Mm-hmm. Do you limit yourself to, you're in Cleveland, Ohio area, you just limit yourself to a radius?
So my furthest client, I'm on the outskirts of Cleveland, but my furthest client's actually an hour away. They called me one day and I actually have 278 clients right now, all between like 1 mile and like 35 miles. I usually won't go over like 35-ish miles, but I mean, if they're willing to pay the gas fee, I'm willing to go help them. One man called me, he's like, we have a Dane and we have he's a Mastiff mix. Mm-hmm. And they're like, they're 9 and 10 years old. I cannot get them in the car anymore. Their vet wasn't doing nail trims. He called me about 6 months ago. So he's like, are you willing to help me? And I'm like, this is your travel fee. This is my service fee. If you're fine with that, I'm fine to come out and help you. And he said, yeah, absolutely. I came over a couple days later and the dogs did really, really well. And they have been going once a month since. And it's, you know, they just want someone to help them. Yes. They can't do it themselves. They don't have the tools. They probably have quicked their animal one time in their entire life and said, I'm never doing that again. I get that call all the time.
Yep.
So, you know, if we are having the skills to have, you know, the services that we know how to do, I feel obligated to help people. Mm-hmm. So I'm willing to go kind of all over the place. And I do. all the time, yeah. Every day.
Do you miss like assisting in surgery and doing things like that or in clinic stuff?
I miss it sometimes, but I think of the trade-off that I'm home more. I get to see my family more. I get to take my son to school every day. I get to pick him up every day from school. So there are compromises that I made that like, yeah, I'm not doing dentals anymore. I'm not in surgery anymore. But I did so many of them that as people go through the process with their own animals, if they need someone to support them or talk to them about that surgery, I know what they're going to expect. I can walk them through. This is what's going to happen pre-op. This is what's going to happen intra-op. After surgery, this is what you can expect. So I just pivoted what the knowledge. Mm-hmm. Yes, I miss it, but I don't miss the 12-hour days. I like right. being home. I like working 3 hours a day, 4 hours a day, then I'm done. Yes. So some days I do, some days I don't, but most of the days I don't.
So one of the questions is always about networking, because I'm a huge mm-hmm. believer in networking and that creating the group that mm-hmm. Helps you. How did networking help you get where you are today?
People need to know what you're doing. So the more people you can tell what you're doing, the more they're meant to help you find those that you're meant to serve. So if you don't tell anyone what you're doing, you're not going to help those who actually need you. So the more comfortable you get with networking, it just becomes really, really easy. Just, you know, you think of what you do, what the services you offer, but what is the end result? You offer stress-free pet care. How do you do that? And you just get comfortable telling people. Mm-hmm. So I'll talk to new people at the grocery store, the barista at Starbucks. I go to numerous networking events when they were in person. I do some digitally. My cousin's actually a chiropractor, and he invited me to a BNI networking group. It was hundreds of people, and I was so scared. It was like the first year of business. I'm like, I don't know how to talk to people. But the more you do it and the more you get comfortable doing it, it just becomes, you know, second nature. My neighbor owns a business too, and they've asked me to sub a few times for them. So in doing that for my neighbor with our local chapter, I became like a regular sub there. So I actually am not a member of BNI at our chapter, but I sub so much for all of them that it just, they're more like family now. Like they just, you know, hey, I need a sub, call Serena, or they'll email me or whatever. Mm-hmm. So it's just, I built a relationship with all of these people. What, you know, you don't have to be a member of the group. You can sub and just kind of just get your feet wet with that. Mm-hmm. But networking has grown a lot with my business. So the more you can just keep meeting new people, it's a good thing for business for sure.
Yeah.
And still seeing what other businesses are out there, because once you build a relationship with other businesses, you can give them business too and vice versa. So it's never just one-sided. You have to give referrals too and know who you're referring to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly right. I think that Suzanne Cann and I just had this conversation about networking, and it's mm-hmm. people think that networking is kind of a negative thing. Like it's kind of a used car salesman glad handing stuff. And it's really not. It's really like, how can I help you? And looking mm-hmm. at, you know, what I can do for you. And then there's reciprocity in that, because somebody says, oh, you know what? I know such and such and so, and she does that, mm-hmm. you know?
Yep.
So, I mean, you and I have never met in person. I just saw mm-hmm. you online and I thought, this is a really cool person. I'm going to reach out to her and see if she'll be on my podcast. And here we are. So, you know, don't be shy, right? That's my theory.
Right.
Just reach out. Cause you know, people, they will say yes or they will say no. And either way, that's okay. But I have an opportunity to meet you and, mm-hmm. and share what you're doing with other people, because I know that you're probably in as many veterinary social groups as I am. And I see a lot of people who are really struggling. They're really unhappy what they're doing and they feel stuck. And so I think that by sharing pathways like yours and mine and many of my other guests, that they see a way out. I mean, there's not, they think that they're just kind of there they are and this is all they can do.
Right. Yeah.
And you are living proof that that's not true. You know, that if you're willing to take a chance and step out with some bravery, that you absolutely can do it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. When I started my vet tech program, with my other business coach, I didn't know, as because I loved it so much and I wanted to tell other RPTs about it, I created a entrepreneurial vet tech group called the Vet Tech Society Movement, where I want other vet techs to feel free, where they can just have their own lives and have a flexible schedule. I have a lot of moms in my group. Moms aren't, you know, the mom life isn't for, you know, a clinic setting. Not to say like every vet tech needs to get out of a clinic, but like those who want to have a more flexible schedule, who want to get out of like that drudge of 12 hours, it can be really just taxing on someone. So when they can realize that they can make money on their own and run a business doing it, but still being present for their families too, it just opens up a lot of doors. Mm-hmm. So that's why I talk a lot about what I do.
Yeah.
Because it works.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a really interesting group. I mean, the thing that kind of struck me is I always thought about technicians who were independent rather than going into people's homes and doing what you're mm-hmm. doing, tend to be more relief technicians where they come into clinics and work relief work. Now, do you do mm-hmm. any relief work or are you just focused on in-house?
I do all in-house or I do all via Zoom. That's a lot of, when people hear about a traveling technician, they just instantly think of relief, but it's just a little bit different. It's just different. I don't work for, you know, it's just a solo thing. I don't have a DVM that I work under. I'm not doing vaccines. I'm not doing anything that requires a DVM. So it's just a little, it's different. That's what I get a lot of questions about, legality, things like that, and insurance all the time. So that's what I talk about a lot too in the free master classes that I have in the group and all the free trainings, because people need to realize that it's not just things that you have to do in the clinic. These are all things that we teach owners how to do. So there's no reason why you can't do them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And of course, one of the things that consultants like me try to mm-hmm. preach to veterinarians is let your technicians do the work.
Yeah.
Because the veterinarians in so many practices are actually doing work that technicians should be doing and wasting okay. their time in mm-hmm. what they're supposed to be doing. So do you ever do training for technicians or assistants? Because I know I have friends who are trainers in technicians, and they are VTS in dentistry or internal medicine.
Okay. Like going to different clinics to talk about it?
And do it.
I never have. I have a free training on my website. I have the Facebook group and I just have social media in general, but I've never physically gone to different clinics to talk about what I do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Interesting. So what advice would you give if someone was facing this career decision? As I said, we see a lot of unhappy people working in toxic environments.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you see the stories as much as I see the stories, and they seem to just really be stuck. I guess there's a fear of the unknown that they don't want to get out there and, you know, take the mm-hmm. risk.
Yeah.
So what advice would you give them about kind of prepping? I mean, I can tell that you did the work, and I think that's an important thing, because you read the books, you got the coaches, you listened to experienced people who guided you. And I think a lot of people are misinformed about being a business owner, that you're just supposed to all of a sudden go and do it, you know?
Yeah. The biggest thing is the people who are changing the world are just the people who show up before they're actually ready. That's the biggest advice, is like, just jump in and see what happens. Make a mess, but make progress. Like every single day, do something to push yourself forward. If you feel stuck, change it. You don't have to feel stuck. You don't have to feel afraid. You don't have to feel so stuck in a box. There are options. You just have to leap and just, you know, God will catch you.
Yeah.
The universe will catch you. Yes. You know, when you're faced and your back's to a wall, you either jump or you stay stuck. And sometimes you just have to jump and see what happens.
Yep.
What's the worst thing that can happen? Go there, figure it out, write down what you're scared of, and then tell yourself what's true about you.
Yes.
You are stronger than you think. Yes. I guarantee it.
Yes. Well, we all go through these seasons in life that are really hard. And I think 2020 mm-hmm. was a very hard season. Mm-hmm. But it also taught us that we can do it. We can be resilient. We can be tough. Yeah. We can keep putting one foot in front of the other and just moving forward through the day, because it is mm-hmm. about today. You can't do anything about tomorrow. It's going to do what he wants to do. You can't change the past. It's over. So live in the moment, live in today, and do the best you can today while you're, where you're doing what you're doing.
Absolutely.
For those who do feel stuck. When you were working in the clinic, did you feel like those people kind of ended up being the toxic employees, the ones who were just pulling everybody down because of their dissatisfaction?
There was a couple. There was a doctor head tech kind of combo that was very micromanaging, and everyone felt like under a microscope. Every single thing that we did was wrong. Something wasn't done the exact way that they would want it done. And it just becomes so, like, you would walk into work every single day of like, what are they going to yell at me about today? That's not how people should feel. And if you're in a management role, that's inappropriate. So I said, at the time I was 32 years old, 33 years old. I'm like, I'm tired of feeling like this. I'm tired of taking orders. I'm tired. I am very strong headed and stubborn. So I was tired of taking orders. Like, I will do this on my own. I will call the shots in my own life from now on. Mm-hmm. And once you take responsibility for your own actions and you can take responsibility for your own life, you don't have to take orders. You don't have to feel stuck. You don't have to feel small. You don't have to feel small.
No,
you can just take charge.
You know, I love that the thing is, what's the worst that can happen? Mm-hmm. And sometimes we build the imaginary worst. We think that it's just going to be, you know, we're going to starve to death. We're going to live in a box on the street.
Right.
Horrible things are going to happen to us. But the truth of the matter is probably not. You know, probably we will rise above it. And
absolutely.
And things will work out for the best.
Absolutely.
Very few times in my life when I took a risk or a chance, did it not work out? Did it not turn out that it worked, that it was a good thing to have done? Any kind of final words of wisdom for people out there who are thinking about, you know, making this career change or stepping out as an entrepreneur, or what would you advise them?
Do the scary thing before you're ready. Do the scary thing.
Yeah.
Because you're never going to feel 100% ready. Even when you have it could be different things too. Like, you'll never be 100% ready to have a kid, but you're probably going to have one. Maybe, maybe not. Who knows? But you're never going to feel 100% ready. You just have to jump in and get messy. So mm-hmm. Just do it. Just do what your heart says.
I like the fact that you said, just get messy. You know, just be messy. Perfectionism runs rampant in veterinary medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes the struggle is to understand that good is okay. And yep. It's good enough.
Yep. Good is.
And when you put it out there, then you get it, right? But you got to put it out there to figure out where the right, where the change is made.
Absolutely.
And to that. So Serena, is there anything that you would, that we didn't talk about that you would like to share about your company or your experience, or, you know, a suggested book that you think would be extremely helpful for people to read, or your favorite quote?
Sure. So Jen Sincero is one of my favorite authors. T. Harv Eker is one of my favorite authors. Their books literally have changed my life. So that's when I coach and I have my students, I tell them to read those books too. For those of them who want to talk to me, sure, go ahead. You can find me on Facebook. You can email me. The Vet Tech Society Movement.com is where my free training is for those who want to know more about entrepreneurship as an RVT on their own. But just talk to people. If you're feeling stuck, voice it. If you're feeling stuck, voice it. You can't just feel stuck. Talk to someone, whether it's a teacher, a mentor, someone else, just start talking.
Yep.
So,
Yeah. That's it. You know, you got to ask for what you need. And
absolutely.
So many times people just say, well, they should know. And like, how should they know?
Right.
People don't read minds. And when they do read minds, they tell themselves a false story. So it's
stories
better to, mm-hmm. you know, tell them exactly what you need in a way that they, you know, will want to help you rather than in some kind of an arrogant bullying way that is off-putting. I think that's excellent. We will, of course, put all your information in the description of the podcast. So sure. I'll ask you to send me maybe some links to those books so that we can get people hooked up with those books. and share that. And of course, the information about your company and your Facebook page, contact information. So if people are interested in going out on their own, taking the leap of faith to be an entrepreneur, I personally recommend it. You know, I've been doing it since 2008. I started my business in the middle of the recession. And if you can do it then, you can do it anytime. Right. And you and here you're doing going into people's houses in COVID. Mm-hmm. I did want to ask you that. Have you had people concerned with you coming into the house because of COVID?
I mean, I actually have added 80 clients since March 2020.
Wow.
Because people have needed it. My business has grown. My client base has grown so much. And yes, I'm taking precautions. I'm cleaning everything in between each client. I'm wearing my masks and all that stuff. And in the summertime, I'm doing a lot of, like, we did a lot of things outside. You know, a lot of people have fenced in yards and dogs that listen, things like that. So we took precautions. We did things outside if needed or in garages. I do things in garages, even though it's snowing outside. So people are, even if they're cautious enough, we do all the things, we do everything that we need to do. We're just keeping everybody safe, but we're still getting all the pet care done. A lot of time, and I'm showing owners how to hold for me most of the time, depending on what the services are. So I'm very, you know, vocal about my expectations of them, what they can expect from me, and everyone's just very safe. And you know, they're really good at telling me, and I always ask them, has anyone been sick in the last like month? Has anyone had a positive COVID test? Blah blah blah. So I am watching out for all of my other clients too, and they're watching out for me, and they'll let me know, like, hey, I had a client that's scheduled on Saturday. She called me last week. She's like, hey, I popped up positive for COVID. We'll reschedule. So my clients are very, very good at communicating with me what they need and what to change if we need to change things up. But all in all, things have been just, honestly, COVID was the best thing to happen to my business because it grown so much. So I was able to build out so many more relationships with these people. And, you know, it's just, I was so grateful to have a business that grew, that didn't suffer during a pandemic. And I just thank God every single day for what I have and what I can do.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate your insights. And I think it's inspirational to all those technicians who got out there, got the education, and then kind of felt like they were at the end of their career path. And there's so much opportunity out there. I've been in veterinary medicine since 1985. I love what I do. My husband said, I wish I loved what I did my career the whole as much as you love what you do. And as everybody should be so lucky as me is to love this.
Absolutely.
Stuff. So
if you're not having fun every day, then there's no point in doing it.
Exactly right. You know, exactly right. And it's not that it's all like la-la woo fun. It's sometimes it's just like, it's interesting, deep problem solving fun. That
absolutely.
Different level of fun, you know, for people who are just into it. And I'm one of those people.
Me so, too.
You know, I just believe that this profession is the best. And we are hearing a lot about, you know, how many people are suffering in it, how many people are unhappy, how much depression, and there's opportunity here, right? There's so much opportunity here, and we don't have to deal with that. We don't have to be those people who are constantly down, because we can take control and make our own way and make our own happiness. And obviously, you're one of those people who does it because, you know, being your own boss is freedom.
It is. It is so, so much freedom. And it comes with responsibilities too. I'm not just, you know, eating bonbons every day, but when you can develop something that you yourself are in charge of, it just makes you feel so good.
It does. It really does. You know, I look at, you know, controlling my own schedule, and sometimes I overwork myself.
Oh, I am notorious for that. I have to remind myself to take days off. Like, listen, you've worked 8 days in a row. Calm down.
Yes.
But it doesn't feel like work to me. Right. It doesn't feel like work. It's just something like I get to see my friends today.
Yeah, I know. My friend Mia Carey calls it work-life integration. She said, you know, I don't believe in work-life balance. And I said, I don't either. Because work-life balance is you must do an equal amount of this and an equal amount of that. And then you are good. But the truth of the matter is, I hate that. And that's not going to make me happy. So why would I do, you know, I need to do enough of it to make me healthy, but a not an equal amount of that to what right. you're happy.
Work-life balance is just not falling over. That's all it is. That's, just yes. it. So you don't, you know, you do more one day, more the other day, and it's just, it'll balance itself out. You don't have to feel like you have to do 8 hours of family time, 8 hours of work. Like, it doesn't work like that.
No, it doesn't work like that. You know, I'm writing a blog right now. I haven't finished it yet. I'll post it up in about a week. But it's kind of like about being a mobile. You know how a mobile is so balanced in the different parts, but as the wind blows, the mobile mm-hmm. moves. And those parts of your life will move because there may be a time when your mom breaks her leg, right? And the balance goes like this. Or yeah. you get sick and the balance goes like this, or everything is great and everything mm-hmm. is just floating around here and there's hardly any wind blowing. But sometimes mm-hmm. the wind is going to blow your mobile, but as long as you come back to yeah. equilibrium, that's the mm-hmm. key, is keeping your equilibrium there.
Absolutely.
Right. Well, Serena, thank you again so much for joining me today. It's been very interesting. And thank you for the books. I am a book junkie and now I have more books to read. So I'm already about 10 behind.
Yeah. It drives my husband nuts. Look, you got another book from Amazon. Like, I'm sorry. I have to.
my husband like, what did you order now? And I went, another book, you know, another book. Yeah. So my bookshelves mm-hmm. run over. I actually like to go to Goodwill and buy the business books for $1. And so I now have a pack of 4 of those over here on the behind me that I've just, and I bought one of them I already had. So I'm like, oh crap. Strengths Finder.
Oh no.
Already copied.
Just mail it to me. I'll take it.
I gave it away already to a client who really needed it. so yeah, nice. My whole dollar expenditure at the Goodwill, I blew it because I already had.
Oh my goodness.
That's okay. There'll be another one.
That's all right.
There'll be.
Oh my goodness. Well, thank you very much.
So much. Thank you to the audience for joining us today for this episode of The Bend with Serena Podelsky, who has showed us an entrepreneur path that's a little different for our RPTs. Thank you, Serena.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You too.